Today's shiur is dedicated for his chus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is mesecht and the darim da pei gimel, and we will begin on da pei beis on the beis, two lines from the bottom, esvei. In our previous shiur, the last piece of gemara that we had discussed, the gemara had spoken about a situation of a woman had made a neder that she should not be allowed to eat from two loaves of bread. One loaf of bread was made out of fine flour, and therefore making a neder to not eat from that bread represents a neder of inui nefesh. And the other piece of bread, the other loaf of bread, was not from such quality flour. And since it wasn't being made from quality flour, it did not represent a neder of inui nefesh. And we had a machlokes in the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, if you're made for if the husband, who certainly has a right to be made for the nether of inui nefesh, as we've been learning so extensively, he could also be made for the nether that doesn't the nether that doesn't have inui nefesh, which under normal circumstances he could not be made for, is included in his afara. And in our previous year, we gave a number of explanations for that opinion. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was, you can be made for the nether that represents inui nefesh, but that has nothing to do with the nether that does not represent inui nefesh. These two nedarim don't travel together. Ask the Gemara, Esvei. The Gemara asks, on Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that we just quoted, Rabbi Yochanan says that the two nedarim don't travel together. The Mishnah in Masecht Nazir, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, speaks about Ha'isha Shenadra B'Nazir, a woman accepted upon herself Naziris. We know that Naziris involves not being allowed to drink wine. Naziris involves not being able to be Metamel Amesim. And also, when we say wine, it means all type of grape products, the seeds and the peels, all of that is included in the Nedar. And this woman, what this woman started doing was that she did drink wine, and she was metam lemesim, and obviously that represents a violation of the naziris. So the halacha is hareza sofegas aboim, just like any woman who violates a naziris gets malchus. Here too, this woman violated her naziris, and she gets malchus. But what happens, says the Mishnah, Hefel Abala, naziris is a neder, and the husband has a right to be mefer that neder. And the husband was mefer the neder. However, v'hi lo yada shehefela, she wasn't aware of this hafara, and therefore she continued, she continued violating her naziris, without the knowledge that her naziris had been nullified. So the halacha is, Einet Sofegas is a boy, she doesn't get malchus, because in reality, she is not a nazira. Of course, the Gemara, Emesech the Nazir, teaches us that even though she doesn't get malchus, because in reality, she has not violated the naziris, still, she needs a kapara, because the pasuk says, Isha hafiram, her husband was made for the nether, v'ashem yislach lo. And Chazal explained that to mean that if the husband was made for the nether, but she wasn't aware that the husband was made for the nether, so in reality, she was oiva navera. And because in reality, she was oiva navera, that's why the halacha is that she needs a kapara, albeit, of course, she would not get malchus, because malchus is not given in a case where she actually didn't do the Avera. The Sefer Eshtosh speaks about an interesting question, which is similar. The question, we know that if a woman has an adulterous relationship, the halacha is that she's also labal or labayal. He speaks about a situation where there was a woman who was a married woman and had relations with a man, and then an Eid Echad comes and says that prior to her having relations with this man, her husband had died. So now it turns out that when she had relations with this man, she actually had not done any Aveira because she was not an Eish HaSish at that point. How does the halacha look at that situation? Do we say in her mind she was an Eish HaSish? So since at that time, in her mind, she was an Eish HaSish, she should not be allowed to marry this Baal? Or do we look at the reality? And in reality, she was not an Eish HaSish at that time. And since in reality, she was not an Eish HaSish at that time, she can marry the Baal. So he quotes our Gemara, that if at the end of the day, the nether was mufar, so then it's not considered that she violated the nether, but she does need a kapara. So the Marit al-Ghazi wants to suggest that why is a woman who had an adulterous relationship, such a type of an adulterous relationship, not allowed to marry that man? Because the Torah wanted to give her a knas for doing something so terrible. So therefore, suggests the Marit al-Ghazi, if in our Gemara, where the woman violated a nether, and certainly violating a nether is a lot more serious than violating being an Eish HaSish and having an adulterous relationship. So if we just learned in our Gemara that this woman who violated a nether, not knowing so, but she still needs a kapara, certainly that woman needs a kapara. And since that woman needs a kapara, that's why she should not be allowed to marry the man. Now makes the Gemara point. If we're learning, as Rabbi Yochanan taught us, that when there's a nether that has two parts to it, one part represents something which is inu nefesh, and one part represents a situation which is not inu nefesh, says the Gemara, so the same thing should be in that case. Dilma minyayin this leitzara, refraining from drinking wine, which represents an inu nefesh, that is the part that heifala. That is the part that he has the ability to be made for. But when we spoke at the beginning of our shir, we said that a nazir is prohibited to drink any wine products, grape products, which includes the seeds and the skin. That part he can't be made for. The lisla tzara, there is no particular pain, there is no particular inyan nefesh in refraining from those products, from the chatzon zag. So if that's the case, the tisbekas arbaim, she should get malchus, because it's not that the entire nether naziris has been nullified. The only part that's been nullified, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is the part that involves inyan nefesh, the wine. But the other part that doesn't involve inyan nefesh should be intact. And if it remains intact, she will have been considered having violated the Naziris, and she should get Malchus for that part. Omer Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef responds with a new Chiddush. Ein Naziris l'chatzoyim. There's no such a thing that you're Nazir for wine, for those Chatzanim and Zag, but not for the wine. And as the Ran explains, when a person becomes a Nazir, the Nazir is one package. So even if, as we explained in our previous year, the easiest shot that we said in the previous year is that although we've learned throughout this Masechta the rule of Neder Shota Mektsasa Huta Kulay, but when we've learned that rule, said we learned in our previous year, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's only a Neder that a Rav is Matir. But if we have a Neder that was Mufar, that's the case that we're speaking about, there we don't say Neder Shehuta Mektsasa Huta Kulay. And if part of the nether is intact, the entire nether, if part of the nether was Hufar, it doesn't affect the other part of the nether. However, points out the Ran in explaining the Gemara, Naziris is a very different rule. By Naziris, the rule is very different. And by Naziris, you're either a Nazir or not. And since clearly a husband has a right to be made for the part of the Naziris that involves, the husband has a right to be made for the part of the Naziris that is inui nefesh, drinking wine, then the other part, even though it doesn't represent inui nefesh, is automatically nullified as well. And I saw the Ravina Avram Nahar takes this a step further. He says, the moment the husband is made for the part that involves inui nefesh, the moment the husband is made for the part of the wine, the other part goes along automatically. Ask the Gemara, Abaye understands from Rabbi Yosef that you can't, when it comes to Naziris, you have to be a full-fledged Nazir, but what about if a person accepts a Naziris for a limited amount of time, which we know that the Stam Naziris is Shloshim Yoim. So what happens if somebody was a Nazir only for 15 days? What will be the halacha be then? Amal Abaye, so says Abaye to Rabbi Yosef, Hakobin L'chatzi Naziris Iker, does, based on what you're saying, mean that what will be the halacha if a woman took upon herself a Naziris, and as we said, the Stam Naziris, the minimal term of a Naziris, is 30 days, and after 15 days, her husband was made for the Naziris. Will she bring the kabbonis that a person brings at the end of the Naziris? Amalei Abaye, so based on the way Reb Yosef expressed himself, and there's a very important point to include in explaining this Gemara. Although, when we speak about Hataras Nadarim, when the Rav is Matan Neder, what that represents is he's Oikur HaNeder Mafreya. He makes as if the Neder was never a Neder. Because what Hataras Nadarim is really based on is that the husband, is the Rav, is making the Neder into a toss. The Rav is saying that the Neder represents a mistake. What would be the halacha, however, in a case where the Neder doesn't represent a mistake? It's hafara, which we're speaking about in our shurim. That most Rishonim are of the opinion that the father, the husband, are only moving forward, mikana lahabah, not lamafreya. So if so is the case, this woman accepted upon herself a term of Naziris of 30 days. And yes, at day 15, the father, the husband, were made for the Naziris. But that hafara only works moving forward. That hafara does not work moving backwards. So now she completed half of the term of the Naziris. Says Abaye to Rabbi Yosef, based on the way you have expressed your point, she should be chayiv to bring the kabbonis that a person brings when they complete the term of Naziris, because she was a full-fledged Nazira for those 15 days. Because the halacha is, just to give a word of introduction, a Nazir Tar who completes his term of Naziris has to bring three kabbonis. They're all animals. You bring a keves for an oila, a kifsa for a chatas, and an ayil for a shlomim. A nazir that becomes tamei during his term, he has to count 7 days. After the 7 days pass, they do the process of the para aduma on the third day and the seventh day. On the seventh day, he shaves all his hair. And on the eighth day, he brings three kabbonis. And then he counts his Naziris from start. The days that he kept for Naziris before he became Tamei are completely lost. The kabbonis that a Nazir Tamei brings at the end of this process are not animals. He brings Shtei Soirim, or Shnei Bnei Yoina, Echad L'chatos, V'echad L'Oila, and he brings a Keves L'Korban Asham. Ella Amar Abaya says, Abaya, if there's a concept of Ein Naziris L'chatzoim, you can't be a Nazir, you can't just be a Nazir with some of the halachas of Naziris, Ein Korban L'chatzoim, you don't bring a Korban unless you completed your entire term. And in the case that we've been discussing, since the entire term is not completed, she doesn't have to bring a Korbanos. But ask the Gemara, is that true? Meisvei, it says in a Braisa, Hisha Shanadir Benazir, a woman who accepted upon herself to be a Nazir, Befrisha Behemta. And she became a Nazir, and she became Tomei during her term of Naziris. And as we just said, that person has to bring a keves for Karban Asham and two birds, Echad l'achatas v'echad l'oilo. V'frisha b'hemta, and she designated an animal for her Karban Asham, v'achkach heifel abala, and then the husband was made for the entire Naziris. The halacha is, mevi chatas oif, the chatas oif she has to bring, v'ena mevi oilo soif, but she doesn't bring the oilo soif. But ask the Gemara to Abaya the Amrit, if what you just said is correct, that ain carbon lechatzi naziris, that if you don't complete your entire term of naziris, you do not bring kabonis. So then the question is, amai mevia chatas aif, what does she bring? The chatas aif. As the Ran explains the Gemara, since the naziris, the husband was made for the naziris, and we're learning if the husband is made for the Naziris in the middle of the term, she doesn't have to keep the whole term of Naziris, and therefore it's in the same category of a Naziris l'chatzoyim, so why should she bring any carbon? Elamai, so why are you going to say that what Abaye said is incorrect, and that the halacha actually is the yesh carbon l'chatzi Naziris, that a Nazir, that even if a person brings just even if a person experienced just part of the term, that is considered a naziris. So then the halacha ought to be shalosh behemos b'ayla suyei. So then the regular halacha of a nazir who becomes tamei ought to apply. And she has to, and if she wasn't tamei, the regular halacha, so what happens when a nazir finishes their term, also ought to apply. Chatas oil of shlamim, as we said before, she should have to bring when this term is cut, albeit when it's cut in the middle of the term. If we're saying that there is a carbon chatzi naziris, she should bring those three carbonis. And again, as the Rishonim point out, if she became tamei, she should also either if she becomes tamei, she should have to bring all the carbonis of a nazir tamei, and if she didn't become tamei, she should have to bring all the carbonis that a non-tamei nazir has to bring. Ela l'olam, because of this question, the Gemara sticks to its point and says, ain't carbon l'chatzi naziris. There's no carbon that's brought for a half a term. If that's the case, whether tor or tamei, why does she bring the chatas oif? The chatas oif the masya, but the chatas alasofik. There, we know that one may not bring a carbon unless he's a carbon that's not a nadava, is a carbon that you may not bring unless you're obligated to bring the carbon. But when the carbon that's in question is a chatas oif, there the halacha is lenient. And even if there's a question, if you have to not have to bring the carbon, you bring that carbon. If that is the case, so now we could understand why she brings the carbon. Now we understand why she brings the carbon chatas oif, because the carbon chatas oif is much less serious in the halacha about bringing it, even if you if you don't have to bring it, still the halacha is a chatas oif, we could always be lenient. The Brisker Rav, in speaking about this concept of ein naziris l'chatzoyim, points out there are two ways to understand this concept. One is that a husband could do afara even on the non-ini nefesh part of the naziris, the chatzan of a zagim, because since we look at the naziris as one nether, so you can't separate the parts of the nether. The other way of learning it is that once the ini nefesh part of the naziris is nullified, the other portion of the nezer of the naziris, or is automatically nullified because there's no such a thing of being a nazir l'chatzoyim. So now the Gemara goes back. This entire discussion that we've been having about naziris was brought into the Gemara because of Rabbi Yochanan's statement about being meifel masana, then meifel she'ena masana. Esvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, hishi shenadri b'nazir, of a woman accepted upon herself a naziris, the nitmas, and then she became tamei. And then her husband was made for the naziris,
maybe chatas oif, as we just explained, since the chatas oif is not such a serious carbon in the terms that you could bring a chatas oif even when you have a suffik. Ve'em avi oil sa'if, you don't bring an oil sa'if, because an oil sa'if we could only bring when she was a full-fledged nazir. Ve'amit, ask the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan, meifil masana, you can make a hafara on the portion that involves ini nefesh. Ve'em meifil she'ena masana. But Rabbi Yochanan says that has no connection to the part of the naziris, to the part of the nether that doesn't have any nefesh. Dilma miyain disloy tsara, maybe from the wine that involves inui nefesh, that's where he was made for. But tumas meis, which doesn't involve inui nefesh, the isser for a nozer to become tamei doesn't involve inui nefesh, the less late tsara, maybe loy hefala, he was a mefer. So all the Rishonim ask, how is the Gemara asking this question? Haven't we just finished learning that ain naziris lachatzaim, and we don't separate the zagim and chatzanim from the wine? So why is the Gemara saying that we should separate the tuma halacha of naziris from the wine halacha of the naziris? Says, so Tosfos answers that we don't find anywhere in the halacha of naziris that the Torah separates between the halacha of wine and the halacha of zagim and chatzanim. Either you're allowed to have them, or you're not allowed to have them. And therefore, we can't say, we have a concept of the Naziris L'chatzoyim, and if the husband can be made for the wine portion of the Naziris, he could also automatically, given the Peshatim that we just learned, be made for the Zagim V'chatzanim portion. But when it comes regarding Tumah, there we find that the two don't necessarily travel together. One way is by Naziris Shimshin. Naziris Shimshin is a type of Naziris where he's not allowed to drink wine or have any grape products, but he is allowed to be Tomei. So we have a precedent where somebody can be a Nazir regarding Tumah and not a Nazir regarding grape and wine products. The Ran answers that the Gemara is trying to teach us, the Gemara's Havamina was that when somebody thinks about Naziris, you think about not allowing drinking wine. That is the primary aspect of Naziris. This other part of the Naziris is not considered the primary aspect of the Naziris. And therefore, the Gemara assumed that you could separate the two. For which answers the Gemara? So the Gemara could have indeed answered that they do travel together and they cannot be separated. But the Gemara gives a different teretz. Amri, tumas meis nami is leitzara. The part of the naziris that involves tumas meis also is considered inu nefesh. The ksiv, because the pasuk says in Koheles, v'chai yite aliboy. V'tanya hara mei aimer. My the ksiv, how do we understand the pasuk that says v'chai yite aliboy? Meaning, the yispad alei, a person who, when he was alive, set a hesped over people who passed away, will be the person that when he passes away, they will say hespedim on him. The yifkun, if he cried upon the death of other individuals, yifkun lay, people will cry when he passes away. The yikber, if he participated in burying other people, yikberuni. And therefore, the halach, therefore, not being able to participate in a levaya, not be able to participate in helping burying a person is inui nefesh, and therefore it is a part of the nether that a husband could be made for. So the Ein Yaakov says that what does Remeir explain this person? He says that Remeir is of the opinion of Chai that yesh misa b'loy chet, that even if a person spent his entire life not doing any averis, he's still going to pass away. So the pasuk can't be telling us, says the Yaakov according to Remeir, that v'chai yitin aliboy is going to pass away. For everyone will unfortunately pass away. It must be coming to teach us what we just learned. So the flaw asks a question. We know that the Torah calls helping and participating in the kvura, in the levaya of a person, as a chesed shel emes. So ask the Afla, according to this Gemara, why is it considered a chesed shalemis? It's not a chesed shalemis because you're doing it that it should be done from you. So Rafa answers, the reason it's considered a chesed shalemis is although participating in the burial of somebody you is something that everybody wants, that he should be paid back, but the halacha is that it's a chesed shalemis because the person who you buried won't be the one to bury you. Someone else will be the one to bury you. The Imri Emes gives a different shot. He says the reason it's called chesed shalemis is because, as we're learning now in the Gemara, what is the result of participating in the Levaya? The result, Ramey says, is that a chai yiten eliboy, that will cause you to live life differently. And that's why, says the Imri Emes, it's considered a chesed shalemis. It's considered a chesed shalemis that this person who you participate in his burial will help you live a very different type of life. And actually, the Gemara spoke here about making a hesped, and there's a very interesting question. What is the purpose of the hesped? Some explain that the purpose of the hesped is yikra d'chaya, for the honor of the people who are still alive, to speak about their relative. And some say it's a yikra d'mesa, it's for the honor of the person who passed away. What is the nafkamina between those two reasons? The two nafkamina between those two reasons is if the person who passed away asked that no hespedim should be said about him. If the point is yikra d'mesa, if it's there for the covet of the person who is no longer alive, so this person is saying that I don't care and I don't want that, this is not considered an honor to me that I should have a hesped, and therefore he could say I don't want a hesped to be said on me. If on the other hand we understand that's a yikra d'chaya, it's for the people who are still alive, so the person who passed away is not the one that can make that decision for them. So the Paiskim discuss what happens if somebody requested the Noah Spadin should be said about them. And I saw that Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, Rabbi Yitzchak Petekberger, the one that wrote the Shalos HaTshuvos Pri Yitzchak, was Niftin Yerushalayim, and he left the Tzava that no hesped should be set for him. And Reb Chaim Berlin came to Levaya, and he said that even though he said that I don't want a hesped set on me, even though he had requested no hesped should be said, he says, we find in the Torah that the Pasuk says, V'yava Avram lispoid l'sora ulef kaisa. So Reb Chaim Berlin Zatzal said that we see from that Pasuk there are two separate categories. There's a category called b'chi, and there's a category called hesped. So as we just discussed, a hesped may be because of yikra d'maisa. The hesped maybe is being said for the honor of the person who's not alive anymore. And in this case, the person who's not alive said, it's my honor that should be no hespedim. But we're learning now that there's another element to the hesped. The other element to the hesped is the b'chi. On that, the person who passed away is not able to make decisions. So that's why Rav Chaim Berlin said the hesped at that time. He said, I'm not saying a hesped. I'm doing b'chi. B'chi is not in the control of the nifter. Similarly, when the Pnei Yeshua was nifter, he had left the tzava that no hesped should be set on him. But the Noida Behuda did say a hesped. And when he was asked, how could you say a hesped when the Pnei Yeshua specifically requested that no hespedim should be recited? He said, the Pnei Yeshua can indeed say that they don't want a hesped said about them, but that can't be on the Kavodat Torah element. And when a person of the stature of the Pnei Yeshua is nifter, there's another factor to be taken into consideration, and that is the concept of Kavodat Torah, which is interesting to point out. Here we're speaking about the kavod of the nifter. And the question is, where there was a question about a woman who came to Eretz Yisrael, and the woman claimed that she was Jewish, and that the proof that she gave that she was Jewish was that there was a woman who was buried in Russia, who we knew was Jewish, but she claimed that this woman buried in Russia was her grandmother, and if this woman was her grandmother, her mother's mother, that indeed would be good proof that she's Jewish. The only issue is, how can we be sure that that is her grandmother? So the way to make that determination is by doing a DNA test. But doing the DNA test means taking the mother out and taking this grandmother and opening up her grave, which of course is a very serious issue of Nivel Hameis. And the question is, are we allowed to do Nivel Hameis, that if we're allowed to do Nivel Hameis in order to make this determination? So he takes the position, and he quotes a tshuva from Ramosha to that point. He says that it depends. If the test that has to be done involves doing something which is really a Nivel Hameis, taking out a bone of that woman and removing it and crushing it, that's considered a serious act of Nivel, and that is something that may not be done. But if all that's involved is just putting a pin or something insignificant into the body that is buried, and with that they'll be able to extract DNA to make this determination, that, he says, we could be more lenient on. Says the Mishnah, if a woman says, Koinim shani nani l'briyas, she's not allowed to have any benefit from any people. The halacha is, any yachal hafer. So the question is that considered a neder v'ini nefesh? Our Mishnah explains the Rishonim follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who we've been discussing his opinion often in our shiurim, that has a much more limited definition of nedre in a nefesh, and therefore the halacha is that he can't be, that this is not considered nedre in a nefesh. However, the Rishonim say that even though it's not considered a neder of ini nefesh, it is considered a neder of beinoy lebeino. And since it's considered a neder of beinoy lebeino, it could be made for it. The only thing is, as we've discussed many times in our shiurim, there are very different halachas that apply when a husband is made for a neder because it's beinoy lebeino versus when a husband is made for a neder because of ini nefesh. A person that made a neder, koinem kahanim levim nenemli, that kahanim levim may not have benefit from me, yitlu akarchai. The halacha is that they could still take truma meiser that they're entitled to from her. But if she specified certain kahanim, kahanim elu, velvim elu nanimli, she specified specific kahanim, then yitlu akherim. So the Tres Yisrael explains that this part of the Mishnah should not be understood as speaking about a woman who makes this type of a neder. Because a woman, says the Tres Yisrael, a wife, is incapable of making this type of a neder, because kamashikani ishikana bala. So she isn't able to make that determination. Here we're speaking about, explains the Tres Yisrael, a person who made this neder. What is the halacha from of these neders? The Mishnah differentiates where she makes a net, where the neder was made about all kahanim levim, and even then many rishonim in explaining the reish, the first part of this din, says yitlu al karchai, means that even, since he said, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, he included in his neder all kahanim levim, since he included in his neder all kahanim levim, so somebody's going to be able to take, but it means that they could take, but not that he gives it to them. Giving to them, the person who made this nether can never give it to them. Alma, so what do we see from our Mishnah? That when she said, Kainim Shani Nenel Labrius, the Efshta Matzma delay, she could get supported from her husband, and therefore, the husband the nether is considered a valid nether. And because there's no inu nefesh involved in this nether, because she could get supported from her husband, Michlal. So what do we see from here? That when she expressed the nether, and the way she expressed the nether was, the husband is not included in the Brias. And therefore, since she could continue being supported by her husband, there's no problem. Baal la b'chlal in a Brias. And ask the Gemara, Ema Seifa, v'chala henes lekat shecha peya. She could also get lekat shecha peya because they're considered hefker. Abam of the Baal, it seems that the Seif is teaching us that she could eat lekat shecha peya, but she wouldn't be able to get supported by the husband. Why can't she get, and it's not in Nidri and in Nefesh, because she has from what to live, from the lekat shecha peya, but she can't get from the husband. So we see Alma Baal Bechlal Brias. When she says any nene labrias, it includes the husband as the individual from whom she cannot have Hanoah. Because as the Meiri explains, if the halacha indeed were in the Sefer, then not only is she allowed to take from the Lekat Shecha Peya, she could also take from the husband, so the Mishnah should have said so. That's the way the Meiri explains the Gemara's question. The Ran explains the question much more fundamentally. The Ran says, who is allowed to take from Lekat Shecha Peya? A person who's poor, who has no other means of support. But if we're saying now that she is able to continue to get supported from her husband, if she's able to continue being supported from the husband, why can't she get Lekat Shecha Peya? Lekat Shecha Peya is, why is she entitled to Lekat Shecha Peya? She'll get from her husband. Answers the Gemara, Amma Ula. So the Gemara gives three answers to this question. Amma Ula, the first tarets the Gemara suggests, Lo'ilam la b'chlal b'riyos. The husband is not included in the category of b'riyos, and therefore she could continue getting supported from the husband. Void, and then the way to understand the b'riyos, and this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Void, en yoch lahafer, even if he's the kind of person, let's say she can get supported by the husband. But the Mishnah is saying, and what happens if the husband doesn't have the means of supporting her? So what is the halacha then? Says the Mishnah, she still has a way to live because she achalahenes b'lekha shecha peya. So in other words, she should get supported by the husband. And the Mishnah is saying, but what about a case where the husband can't support her? That doesn't mean that the husband can be made for the nether because he needs nefesh, because she could always have lekat shecha peya. Rav Amma, Rav gives a different way of understanding the Mishnah. Loilam baal b'chlal b'riyas, that indeed the husband is included in being part of the b'riyas. And if the husband is included in being part of the b'riyas, just like she may not be supported by anyone else, she can't be supported by the husband either. So if that's the case, so now we have a question, why isn't this nether considered a nether of any nefesh? So the Mishnah should be understood, says Rava, ma tam kamar. Why is this nether not considered a nether of any nefesh? Ma tam ein yochel lahafer. Why can't the husband be made for this nether? Because she has still a way to survive. Nesh yochel lahenois, b'lechet shecha apeya. And ask the Karen Oira, how could she have Lekat Shecha Peya? When she takes the Lekat Shecha Peya, we just said earlier that there's a rule, Kol Ma Shekonsa Isha Konsa Bala. So when she takes the Lekat Shecha Peya, in essence, her husband becomes the owner of the Lekat Shecha Peya. And if she, as Rav is explaining, is not allowed to have Hanor from her husband, so how could she have Hanor from that Lekat Shecha Peya? Says the Karen Oira, a very big chiddush, that even though throughout Shas, we know there's a rule of Kol Ma Shekonsa Isha Kana Bala, says the Karen Oira, in a case like ours where the woman cannot survive any other way, there we don't say Kol Ma Shekonsa Isha Kana Bala. Another question that the Rishonim ask, that why can the husband not be made for the nether? The halacha is, just like we learned the other day, that if a woman made a nether, that she won't have benefit from a certain storekeeper. And that's the only storekeeper that extends credit to her husband. We said that the husband can be made for the nether. So why over here is it any different? So the Rishayim answer that there, why over there could he be made for the nether? He could say the nether should be valid. From what will she live? She'll live from Lekha Shechapeya. So the Rishayim answer that in the winter, Lekha Shechapeya are not that available. Only in the summer were they available. So that Mishnah that spoke about she made a nether that she won't have enough from a certain storekeeper, who's the only one that gives her husband credit, Lekha Shechapeya is not an option, because the reason it's not an option is because Lekha Shechapeya weren't available. Rav Nachman gives a third teretz how to understand our Mishnah. Lo'olam ba'al b'chlal, la b'chlal b'riyus. The husband's not included. V'achktani. So if that's the case, why is there any discussion about Lekha Shechapeya? Says the Gemara, Nizgarsha, Yechayel Lehenes b'Lekha Shechapeya. As we've learned many times, the halacha is that if a husband is made for a nether because of inui nefesh, so that nether is only relevant until they get divorced. But once they get divorced, the halacha is that the nether is still valid regarding all other people. So the question is this beinoy lebeino that remains only permanently, or is it inui nefesh? Says the Mishnah, it's not considered inui nefesh. If it's beinoy lebeino, maybe it'll cause that she should not be able to, the nether will kick in back after the divorce. Says the Mishnah, it doesn't bother me if the nether kicks back in after the divorce. Why doesn't it bother us? Because she always could have, at that point, Lekha Shechapeya. And because she always could have, at that point, Lekha Shechapeya, it's not considered that she violated the nether. And this really goes back to a concept that we discussed previously, and that is anything that belongs to the community is not considered the property of a specific individual. And since it's not considered the property of a specific individual, that's why it's not considered that if she made a nether that she's not going to have benefit from people. So where did the Lekha Shechapeya come from? The Lekha Shechapeya come from people. We see from here, it's not considered. It's considered a new category. And in fact, there's an interesting shaila that I saw that the Mincha Shloima, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, and the Mishnah Halachas, Rav Nasha Klein Zatzal, discuss. What is the halacha if a woman or anybody made a nether that they won't have hanoah from a specific individual? And then that individual has a field and a shmita. Can I take fruit from that field? Is the field still considered that person's? Or is the field considered like Lekha Shechapeya? So, of course, it ought to be considered like Lekha Shechapeya. But the halacha is that as Shemitah comes, you're supposed to be mafka the field. What would be the halacha if the person wasn't yet mafka the field? And I have a nether that I can't benefit from that person. Will it be considered already hefker anyway? Because Shemitah comes, and when Shemitah comes, suggests the Marit, it's automatically Hefker. Or does the Halacha require that the owner be Mafgarit? And until the owner is actually Mafgarit, it's still considered somewhat his. And if I have a nether that I may not benefit from him, I will not be able to have that produce because of the nether.